On Monday, we read from your letters. Many of you emailed us during our program on the journalistic lapses of former New York Times reporter Jason Blair and Stephen Glass of the New Republic. Stephen Wallace asked this question: do you think that journalists have become too much celebrities in their own right, and that this is contributing to the problem of hyped-up news? Karen Gregory of Ionia, Michigan, approaches the issue from a different angle. I find it quite ironic that the public places so much responsibility on journalists to report fairly, accurately, and timely, yet journalists get paid pretty poorly compared to so many other careers. For Christopher Eshelman, these stories raise concerns he has about a pending FCC decision on media ownership. In both the Blair case and the Glass case, your guest and callers have pointed out that the problems were only uncovered when outside media groups brought them to light. What happens when the FCC loosens the rules yet again and we see even fewer independent voices in our media? Who will catch the errors when only a handful of companies control print, radio, and TV? The history of heavy metal brought in some rather surprising tales of family togetherness and wholesome pursuits. From Susan Easter of Salem, Ohio: my daughter went to the Ozfest with her dad a year or two ago, and they rocked out for hours. What a wonderful time for both. Good way to vent legally. And from Matt Smith: I remember being a listless and angry youth in the mid-80s, buying Iron Maiden albums and scribbling skulls in ballpoint pen on my pants and school books. Now, years later, as a more mild-mannered and fairly well-adjusted fellow, metal still figures prominently in fueling the artwork, except now the artwork is for children's magazines such as Highlights and Cricket. I am hesitant to tell the art directors that a fist-pumping, toe-tapping metal marathon is usually responsible for helping me get in that painting of children and animals for the deadline. And finally, our email challenge asking for ways to describe the current economy in one word brought these ideas from John Whittington of Merriam, Kansas: reincarflation, a revival of the economy from the dead. Ted Moan suggests eliflation, because, he writes, this economy seems to be up, down, up on good news, down on bad news. It never really seems to go either direction very substantially, like an elevator. And Aaron Harvey from Los Angeles writes, I call it the Morrissey economy, named after the permanently melancholy lead singer of the 80s band The Smiths.
I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job, and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if I die?
Heaven knows I'm miserable now, the sentiments of the melancholy Mr. Smith and, excuse me, Mr. Morrissey and the Smiths. We read from your emails every Monday. The best way to reach us is TOTN at NPR.org. Remember to put the topic in the subject line. Please include where you're writing from, your name, and a tip on how to pronounce it. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, and Alicia Montgomery. Chad Campbell is our director. Brendan Banizak is our production assistant. And our intern is Lauren Johnson. Kevin Wade is our technical director. He has help from Vince Muse, Mitch Eaton, and Marcia Caldwell. Alan Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm not so miserable. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.